This is Stephen Strang. Welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today I'm having a conversation with the one and only Amanda Grace of Ark of Grace Ministries. In the last couple of years, she has just exploded, especially on YouTube. She has a channel. The Lord speaks to her. She has just a delightful personality, a gripping story. She loves animals. That's where she got Ark of Grace. When you watch her on YouTube, the animals are sometimes in the picture, and she talks about them. She loves them so much. And in my conversation with her today, we talked about that and also the amazing healing miracle that she had in her life, and also the miracle of her husband, Chris, who had a very serious brain injury, and how the Lord has touched him. You don't want to miss my very interesting conversation with none other than Amanda Grace.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Amanda Grace. Thank you for fitting me in. You know, 2 years ago, nobody had heard of you, and now everybody's heard of you. Everyone's talking about you. What in the world has happened to your ministry? How did you get started, and why do you have all this prominence on YouTube and other venues?
You know, I got to say, to God be all the glory. It's not the most comfortable to go from, you know, obscurity to not obscurity. But the way it happened is that I had been through a very long, I'm going to paraphrase this for you, a 17-year battle with, I was very sick. I was in a wheelchair at one point. And I kind of got processed by the Lord for 17 years. And so I was 39 when the Lord said to me, now you're ready. And this is after we had started the animal sanctuary even, and I had done some things with the animals here at Ark of Grace. He says, you're ready. I want you to create a channel, and I want you to start talking about what I'm going to give you to talk about. So February 18th, and there's Grace in the background, our dove. February 18th, 2018, it was actually around the 18th of February, 2018, is when I first started the channel. I mean, now we have a website and everything else, but that's when it all started, was back then.
Well, talk to me about this name, Ark of Grace. Now, Ark, we think of Noah and the Ark and animals, mm-hmm. and we know you're an animal lover. Just talk to me about how all this fits together, because really you have a prophetic ministry. The Lord shows you things about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually has a double meaning. So when the Lord gave me the name Ark of Grace, yes, it had to do with the animals and God showing his grace to them and them coming under the covering here to be protected and cared for. And Ark in Hebrew is called Tabah. And the Tabah is what the Lord brought Noah and the animals into. And then the Ark took the beating so they wouldn't have to. And Jesus became our Ark and our Tabah at the cross because he took the beating and he took the punishment on for us, and he became our covering through his death on Calvary. So Ark of Grace is not only, you know, the Lord named it that for what he does with the animals, but for what he did for us.
And when I was with you recently in Texas, we were talking, and you were telling me that the Lord has actually shown you things through some of these animals, especially sheep. What did the Lord show you?
Well, interestingly enough, Archie the Lamb came to us, and I kid you not, he showed up lost out of the backwoods of Georgia on the property of Messianic Jews 3 days before Passover.
Oh,
you
my.
Can't make this up.
You can't make it
this
up.
This is what happened. You cannot make this up. And so basically, Archie then came to us because I happen to know this family in Georgia. Annie, the mom, happens to be our COO of Ark of Grace, and the lamb showed up there. They were stunned. And so Archie, after much prayer, they knew he belonged up here. And so when he came to us, the Lord said to me, I'm going to teach you firsthand why I call my people sheep.
And why
and
is that?
I've learned a few things about sheep since I've had Archie. And they will only follow the voice of their shepherd. They will not follow a stranger, and they will not respond to one. So my sheep know my voice, and the strangers they will not follow. That is a true statement. That actually happens when it comes to raising and tending sheep. Secondly, I've realized if sheep don't get what they need emotionally and they don't get fed well, they start to become destructive. And they will begin to start chewing on things and feeding themselves things they shouldn't.
Well, that's an interesting parallel, isn't it?
Isn't it? So I started to learn firsthand why the Lord calls us sheep. And so Archie has been not only an enormous learning curve for us, but we have an incredible picture of my husband, Chris, whose life the Lord spared when he had a rupture in his brain. And Chris is holding Archie like a shepherd would hold their lamb. Mm. And it's an incredible picture because in the back of that picture on one of the fence posts, Chris happened to take a statue of a lion and put it there. And in the same shot, we got him in between the lion and the lamb and didn't realize it till after.
Interesting. In fact, tell us a little bit about Chris and your own testimony. You referred to it, but Chris has had an amazing miracle, and so did you. And,
yes.
You know, if someone is elderly, even people that were healthy, you know, their health starts going downhill, and oftentimes they'll have a miracle. But very rarely does a young person be as sick as you were. And very rarely does a man Chris's age have, you know, these things happen to him. So tell us what happened and maybe what you think the prophetic significance of that is.
Well, I will tell you, since I'm very young, the age of 4, the enemy was determined to take my life. So I'll put it in a nutshell for you. So I was very sick with terrible asthma as a child, in and out of the hospital, in oxygen tents in the hospital, trying to breathe. I came from a sort of a, you know, a bit of a broken childhood. And I was raised in the church, though, because my mother, she was a new believer when she had me. And so I was raised in a very Pentecostal, spirit-filled church in the Bronx. So I saw miracles. I saw what God could do. You know what I mean? And so when I was about 21, I had been in and out of the hospital my partial teenage years. And then when I went to college and came out of Siena College, I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Finance. Within 9 months, my parents were going through a very toxic divorce. And within 9 months, my body collapsed. I literally hit the floor and had to be rushed to the ER. And basically what had happened is my immune system had turned on my nervous system and began to attack it until it damaged it. And this started a 17-year battle with a not very common neuromuscular autoimmune issue that I fought. And I ended up in and out of rehabs to learn how to walk. And I was in a wheelchair at one point, medically paralyzed, couldn't walk at all, couldn't get out of my wheelchair. And the Lord ended up touching me. And I, for the first time in a year and a half in the church, the pastors have now moved out of state, but the church that Chris and I met in and the pastors married us, Pastor Wayne and Mary Ann Berry, that is the church I was touched in. And I got up for the first time in over a year and a half. And I began to walk. And that started And it was, I'll tell you a funny side note before we get into Chris. The physical therapist who was determined to try to help me, his name was Gary, and he had never seen a miracle before. He was Catholic, and he had wanted to see one. Well, when he showed up Monday morning, and I told him what happened, and I'm sitting in the wheelchair at that moment when he comes in, he threw a walker in front of me, and he said, "Show me." And I walked 10 feet unassisted in front of him. And he said, in all my career, I've been doing this 25 years, I have never seen anything like this. And he ended up writing to the insurance companies because now he had to explain what happened. And he wrote "act of God" and he sent it into them as the explanation for this change. And so the Lord then took me on a journey where he processed me and he began to strengthen me and he began to send animals. In fact, it was my godmother, Barbara, who mentored me in the prophetic, who said, "Amanda, the Lord is going to start sending all sorts of animals to you and you're going to take care of them." And he did. And only two ducks showed up at first. And by the time I started walking with my cane to feed them twice a day, because if I couldn't be faithful in that, there was no way I could be faithful in what the Lord wanted to give me. 2 months go by. There are 80 ducks now on my property. Out of nowhere, 80. An entire 80, and I'm not kidding you, I'm not exaggerating this, 80 ducks. It went from 2 to 10, from 10 to 20, and it just kept going up. And by the winter, we had 80 ducks on the property.
Now, in the winter, they usually fly. Don't they fly down here to Florida? I mean, we have an influx of ducks, but they're migrating somewhere.
And these didn't, and they stayed. And I fed them through the winter because it was, you know, rain, sleet, snow, pain or no pain. I want you to feed these ducks. So I did. And then the Lord sent a Muscovy duck named Jake. They're enormous, who ended up lost on our property. He just showed up one day and the Lord said, "You see him, you're going to take care of him too." And it began to grow. And I began to not only physically get my strength back as I began to do this, but the Lord would teach me how to hear his voice more and more as I would go on these walks every day down to our pond to feed them. So this went on for 2 years before the Lord told me I was ready. 2 years of this, of animals coming and me taking care of animals and me really, you know, him flourishing, which was prophetically in me from when I was a child because I was a strange child. You know, I would talk about throne rooms in heaven and this is what I saw and I would see angels and I would, you know, just say things that would, you know, maybe a six-year-old wouldn't talk about. So this had been going on since I'm young, except there comes a time in our life where the Lord says, now it's time. And you see things begin to accelerate in your life and you see things begin to grow in you that he has placed there. So that's me. So that's the first part. And I was actually cleared to drive 2 months before what happened to Chris happened.
Clear, because before you couldn't drive because of your health restrictions, and then you were able to drive. And then what happened to your husband?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying a year prior to what happened to my husband, the Lord gave me a word. And he said to me, "Amanda, at the beginning of the following year, the upcoming year, which would have been 2019, it was beginning of 2018 when he gave me this word. He said, your husband, Chris, is going to have a road to Damascus moment that is going to reroute and change everything in his life. So the Lord tells me this, and I have this, and I'm holding on to it. And so I had noticed Chris's behavior had begun to rapidly change because what was happening in his brain is that he had something that was the cousin to an aneurysm called an AVM. He wasn't aware he had it. He had developed it from a near fatal accident he had as a teenager. And as we're going towards this mark of the beginning of the year, the Lord begins to brace me. So he begins to really, it's almost like an imminent feeling he was giving me that something was, you know, major was about to just completely change everything. And so it was January 8th, 2019, when at 2:30 p.m., my husband was a master carpenter and he was a builder. His employee, Antonio, came racing onto my lawn and ran to the door and said, "Amanda, Chris collapsed. Call Vassar. He collapsed." So I called the hospital and they said, "Mrs. Wagner," because that's Grace is my middle name, everybody. Wagner is my married last name. They said, "Mrs. Wagner, your husband is in grave condition. He has had a massive hemorrhagic stroke. We are prepping him for emergency brain surgery, and we need you up here." So the Lord is trying to keep me focused in the middle of this because our emotions want to get the better of us at that moment. And the Lord's trying to tell me, keep a lid on your emotions because I'm going to give you some instructions. So I'm trying to keep a lid on my emotions. And he says, "I want you to take anointing oil and you need to get to your husband before surgery because you are going to stand in the gap and plead for his life. You have to do it." So I get up there minutes before he is to go into surgery. I'm with his parents. And I walk in and my husband is twitching on a ventilator. And the Lord is coaching me. I'm hearing him in my spirit. And he's saying, "Put this out of your mind for a minute. I know what you see. Don't look at what you see right now. I need you to do this." So I anointed him. In a typical Italian fashion, I kicked everybody out of the room that didn't want to come into agreement with what I was about to pray. And the people left. We joined hands and we prayed. And a few things that I prayed was that the Lord would send his holy warring angels and holy angels of all rankings and divisions to protect this operation, that the doctor would be given wisdom. And towards the end of the prayer, after rebuking the enemy and the devourer in the name of Jesus Christ, I said, "Lord, I am holding you to your word that Chris is going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." And he went into surgery because Dr. Craig Shannon was the surgeon. And he said to me, "Amanda, I'm going to try, but your husband's not going to live." And I thought, that is not your call. This is God's. God is going to have the say on this, not you. And Chris went into surgery. And what I didn't know is that during the surgery, and I found this out 10 days later, Chris has two sisters. His sister Carol was distraught in the waiting room. She had never had an open vision before. She called me 10 days later saying, "I have to talk to you, Amanda, because other people are going to think I'm crazy if I tell them this." And she said to me, "While Chris was in surgery, a picture appeared before my face," she said. She said, "And I saw Chris, and I saw him on the operating table, and I saw Dr. Shannon, and I saw these enormous angels standing shoulder to shoulder around them, protecting the entire operation." So the angels I asked God to dispatch were there. They were there. And Chris miraculously survived that surgery. The doctor came out dumbfounded and he said to me, "The next 3 days are going to determine whether your husband lives or dies." And I thought, well, Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days and resurrected. So the Lord is setting up for something miraculous to happen here. And when I saw my husband after surgery, the amount of tubes that were coming out of him was immense. And he not only survived, he survived the second operation. He survived two blood clots in his lungs. And he was in a coma. And he woke up from that coma. And when my husband woke up, he was unable to speak at all. He was paralyzed on his right side. And he had no skull on his left side because they had to take it off to let the brain swell. So this was the beginning of this battle that went on in 2019.
Wow. This is an amazing story. And, I mean, that would kill most people. So,
well, Mr. Steve, Italian women are pretty resilient. Praise God.
Especially spirit-filled Italian women, right?
Amen to that.
So go ahead with the story.
Okay. So my husband, actually, I'm going to rewind for a second here to the second surgery. So that's, don't mind, that's Wally, our parrot, one of our residents at the sanctuary in the background. He likes to imitate everybody. So when he hears me talking, he tries to imitate what's going on. So the second surgery, see, Chris had to be transported to another hospital on a ventilator, which is dangerous to do. Because Dr. Shannon could only deal with the bleeding on the brain and the take in. And his brilliance, he actually took Chris's skull off, made a slit near his stomach, and stuck the bone in near his stomach and sewed him up on emergency because he said, bone needs blood to live. And I thought I could do a whole teaching just on that statement.
Wow.
A whole teaching. That's what he said to me, because bone needs blood to live. So when we get down to the hospital in Westchester, Dr. Santarelli, who's going to do the AVM surgery, because they said if the AVM ruptures again, it's going to kill him. So we have to deal with this. He comes out, I'm not kidding you, he looks like he's 16 years old, like Doogie Howser. I thought someone was playing a joke on me when the doctor walked out. He looked literally like he was like 15, 16 years old. And I'm looking around, looking for the hidden camera, like there's a joke being played on me in the middle of all of this happening. But he says something to me. My husband, what I had said to you at the beginning about him having an accident when he was in his teens. Well, Chris had the enemy had tried to take Chris's life from a young age also. And Chris hit a wall on a snowmobile at 60 miles an hour when he was 17. And he miraculously survived. But what I didn't know that the Lord told me 5 years into our marriage is that Chris had a brain injury from that accident that got swept under the rug. So once I marry Chris and we're 5 years into the marriage, the Lord says to me, your husband has a brain injury from the first accident and I'm going to expose it. So Dr. Santarelli now comes out and he needs me to basically approve this surgery because it's a serious one. And he says to me, Amanda, was your husband ever in an accident when he was younger? I said, yes, he was. And I told him, because it was nowhere on his paperwork. He said, now this all makes sense. He says, because this type of AVM, which stands for arterial venous malformation, only develops from a prior trauma to the brain. And there, everything begins to come out in the wash that Chris had a brain injury when I married him, that he didn't even know he had. And so they did the surgery, and that's when he ended up in the coma for 5 days. And he wakes up from the coma and he recognized me. He didn't necessarily know my name at that moment, but when he was on oxygen and he looked up at me and he grabbed my hand and he squeezed it really tight because he recognized me. And he had to wear a special helmet because he's got no skull now on the left side of his head. I mean, actually it is the left side, because the left side of your brain affects the right side of your body and the right side of your brain affects the left side of your body. So his right side was affected and the skull was removed on his left side, which really is where you're speaking and your logic and your reasoning all reside, I believe, is in the left part of your brain. So he can't speak a lick. Nothing. He can't even say the word no. So basically, it's like you're dealing with a toddler in a man's body. And he was in the neuro ICU, and I would stay with him every other night there. And he would, when people are coming out of brain injuries and they wake up, their brain is so confused, they get hostile. And they don't mean to get hostile. It's just their brain doesn't know which way is up at that moment. So every time Chris would get that way, I would play worship music. And as I would play it, he would stop. And the nurses kept watching this occur. And every time he would get this way, one particular nurse, who I believe was Korean, he said to me, "Hit that music, Amanda. I have other patients I need to see." And he'd march out of the room. And I would play the worship music and fill the room with the praises of the Lord. And Chris's spirit would settle down. And so this, he was there for about 2 weeks before he went to rehab. But right after that, Chris began to go into pulmonary distress. Horrific. They had him on high flow oxygen. He couldn't breathe. I mean, it was really scary and dicey there for a moment. And the Lord said to me, because they were trying to figure out what was wrong with Chris, the Lord said to me, "Tell the doctor to check his lungs for blood clots." So I went to the nurse. I said, "Has the doctor checked and done a CAT scan yet for blood clots in his lungs?" And he says, "No, he hasn't. Let me call him right now." Calls the doctor. He says, "Look, the wife wants you to do this." The doctor said, "Okay, this is a good idea. I'll do it." Sure enough, Chris had two blood clots in his lungs, and a third one would have killed him.
Wow. So this is like the Lord showed you that. Is that right?
Yes, the Lord showed it to me. And then I went to the nurse, and I said, "You need to call the doctor right now and tell him that he needs to do a CAT scan of Chris's lungs." And the Lord intervened, and then Chris was treated, and praise God, he was okay. And he was, about a week after that, sent to, in Rockland County, there is an enormous rehab hospital, and that's where he was sent. And he can't speak, and he's having trouble communicating. He can't write, which has got to be enormously frustrating. So I remember the Lord did a creative miracle, because the first night he was there, and every time I tell this story and Chris is present, he laughs. Without fail, because it was so incredible what happened. But my husband is trying to communicate with me, and he's trying to draw this box that looks like it has a pair of pants in it. And I very simply said to the Lord, "Lord, if I can't understand Chris, I can't help him. I need to be able to understand him." And at that moment, I can almost hear the Holy Spirit chuckling. And says to me, "He wants to know where his wallet is." And I looked at Chris and I said, "Are you asking me where your wallet is?" He threw the pencil down. He threw his hands up in the air like hallelujah, because somebody understood him. And from that day forward, I could understand him, even though he couldn't say any words. They were so impressed at the rehab. They said, "We can't believe this just happened and you can understand him like this." Because the Lord gave me the ability from that moment forward to understand him, to help him. So praise God for that. That was another creative miracle the Lord did. And Chris has come a long way. I mean, I'll tell you, the doctors say, including Dr. Shannon, he said, "Amanda, I don't like to use the word miracle," after I brought him back, after he got out of rehab finally. And he said, "But I don't know what else to call this. Your husband is an absolute miracle." He said, "People don't survive this." And I looked right at him and I said, "They do if God says they do. They do, Dr. Shannon." And it was a testimony to him.
That is such a beautiful, beautiful story. And, you know, podcasts by their nature are short. This has gone a little longer. But I want to kind of give you the last word, but just ask you what you see happening right now. We're recording this right before Christmas in 2021. There is so much going on in the country with the Democrats in the White House and the cancel culture and all the transgenderism and the Omega variant of COVID and inflation. And I mean, sometimes it just seems so bleak. But, you know, the Lord speaks to you and you have such clarity. I just wonder what you can leave for my listeners, even though I know people will be listening to this, you know, long into the future. But as we wrap up this podcast, what do you feel the Lord is saying that would encourage people?
Well, I will tell you something interesting, that it was at the beginning of November when I delivered a word from the Lord. He said this, it would be a December to remember what was going to occur, and that there would be unusual weather patterns and unusual activities over the mountain ranges to confirm. And it would run in tandem to what's happening in the nation. Now, we have seen quite a bit happen already in this month. But the Lord started talking to me today, and he gave me a word. Normally, when he starts to give me a word, the rest of it's coming. And he gave me a word for 2022, and that word was smoldering. And that's not a word I normally use. So I went and I looked up what it meant, and it is a fire that literally smokes without a flame and then spontaneously combusts. It can spontaneously combust into flames. So it's something that smolders and gets hotter and hotter and hotter until it suddenly erupts. And I think that's what we are watching happen in the nation, and we're moving towards. You're seeing it smolder right now. You're seeing the smoke. And where there's smoke, there's fire. And so I think going into the beginning of 2022, you're going to see some of that completely erupt. Now, in a good way, because the Lord is doing probably one of the biggest purgings that have ever happened in this nation, you're going to see happen. It's already begun, but he's doing it. And he's doing it to really show people and give them a choice right now in this nation. Choose this day whom you will serve. Look at the world. Look at what's going on in your nation. Look at who has been serving what, doing what, that they shouldn't be doing. Choose this day whom you will serve. And I think the more people that call on the Lord and move towards him and make public, I mean, just go to a point of publicly not even caring and praising him out in the open, in the streets, in the squares, and we see more of that happen, we're going to see something incredible happen in our nation in the first half of 2022.
Boy, that is so encouraging, and that's a good way to end this podcast. I want you to tell people how they can connect with Amanda Grace and Ark of Grace Ministries.
Well, we have a website, and it's ARK of Grace, and then a hyphen, and then the word ministries.com. You can search Ark of Grace Ministries on YouTube. We are on Liftable TV as liftable.tv/Ark of Grace. There's a picture of me and Noble the pig, so you know you're in the right place. And we have an app. We have an Ark of Grace app that you can download. It's the dove with the olive branch.
That's great.
That's our logo.
You know, I enjoy watching you on YouTube and enjoyed getting to meet you at the Reawaken America Tour in Texas not long ago. Enjoyed meeting Chris and just hearing a little bit about his testimony. And thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I want to have you on again. I think I'm going to watch your YouTube channel more closely, and some of the topics I'll just reach out to you and see if you can fit in a podcast. I'll thank my listeners for tuning in, and be sure to follow up by checking out Amanda Grace's ministry as she described, and tune in again tomorrow for another podcast on the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.